Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. In the studio today with me is our friend from many years, Moselle Royer. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, sure, Larry. Thank you so much for having me on. This is great.
Well, Lauren, I've known you and Rodney for a long time and are blessed by your lives and watched you in leadership over many years. So we're going to get right into it. And obviously, one of the reasons I wanted you on was you wrote this book, The Exception. And I want to talk to you a lot about the book, and then just talk to you about some leadership things and anything that I think would really help our listeners in the podcast. Are you
sure.
Ready?
Yes, I am.
All right. We're going to start from the beginning. Let's talk about leadership. Now, I know some of the areas of leadership you've been in, but I just talk to us about some of the areas of leadership you've served in over the years. Just give us some examples.
Sure. I think the longest area of leadership that we were youth leaders,
right.
And we really enjoyed doing that. That was about 20-plus years.
Wow.
But we've also been small group leaders. We've been church elders. Of course, currently I am the lead elder of our house church.
So exactly.
Yeah, lots of different positions.
Now, in the midst of all these things that you learn about leadership, why did you write a book?
So I wrote the book mostly because your wife kind of tricked me into
all her
it.
Fault.
It was. Laverne has been a mentor to me for a long time,
sure.
And she knows that I have a heart to want to see people be healed in different areas of their life. So she said, "Have you written any of your stories of healing down? Have you talked about it all?" And I'm like, "No, I really haven't." And she encouraged me to do that so that I could, when it's time to speak someplace, I have stories to pull from and things like that. So as I'm writing my stories down, I thought, dang it, this is going to be a book, isn't it? So that's really how it happened. I kind of got tricked into it, but
so
I'm happy I did.
You did a great job.
Yeah,
I
love it.
It's a good book. And when I read it cover to cover. And when I read it, I thought, this is like Moselle sitting down talking to me. That's really how it came through. And I'm so proud of you. You kind of did this. I mean, you did all the work in the background. You published through Amazon, all that. Maybe we can talk a bit more about that a bit later. But first of all, let's talk about the book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this book is broken into seven different focuses, so to speak. So let's start in the beginning, right in the beginning. And call the beginning, in fact. Talk about that.
The beginning of the book, God kind of gave me a strategy to write a book that would have different stories of my life and then how I was healed through, you know, those stories and those events. So the beginning is really me talking about my childhood and just some of the struggles that I faced growing up with a dad who was a drill sergeant in the Army.
Right.
So there was a lot of just very strict structure there and could be very hard to overcome sometimes. So just how I walked through that season.
And then you found healing. I mean, so much of your book's about healing that you've experienced and your healing that you've experienced. So let's talk about that a bit. Talk to us about the first focus of healing that you experienced. I know there's a lot of areas, but start there.
Sure. The first focus was really forgiving my stepdad and walking that out.
Yeah.
I had a lot of bitterness and hatred in my life, and I realized how much that was holding me back. And I didn't want to walk in that anymore. So, yeah, I had to give that to God. I had to spend some time with him and be healed of that. And it was really kind of a beautiful thing. And then I reconnected with my stepfather after that, and we were able to actually talk in person do the whole forgiveness thing. And we're actually very close now. So, yeah, it's been really good.
You found healing. So you had to take steps of faith, obviously, and obey the Lord. But you found healing in your life as you took those steps of faith, correct?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Now, much of your book focuses on you when you were a teenager. I think that's the first, maybe I remembered you from way back in the day.
Sure.
Tell us some significant things that happened during your teenage years.
So for me, the teen years was kind of where my life really got, I would say, like just derailed. And I was just going my own way and really walking the way of the world. I was very depressed and I got into cutting myself and doing, you know, some drugs, some alcohol, all the different things, just trying to feel better. Because I didn't have God to connect me yet.
Right.
So just walking through that whole season, it was very traumatic. And yeah, when I met the Lord, of course, everything changed.
Right.
But I didn't meet him till I was 18. Mm-hmm. So my younger teens were, kind of a mess until then when I met him at 18, then things started to turn around.
And that was a process, obviously,
when
that happened.
Absolutely.
You know, I would like you to talk to me and us today a bit about racism. How, you know, of course, I mean, I can say I understand racism, but I haven't experienced that in the way you have, obviously. Talk to us about that. Just how that felt, how that feels, how did you handle it? Anything you want to say about that?
Absolutely. I grew up with military parents. And when you're in the military, there really isn't racism because there's always so many different people from different backgrounds all together. And all that matters is that you can protect one another, right? So there just isn't a feeling of that. But when my parents retired and I was in the private sector then, we call it civilian, we're in civilian life. I went to a high school where that was no longer the case, and I realized that I was different, and I realized that there were things that stood out, and I hadn't thought about it too much before, but I had a couple of different experiences where I experienced some pretty extreme racism from people, but I, in those moments, internalized all of it and was like, well, there's something wrong with me. I must be bad. I must be wrong. Not, you know, I was born this way and there's nothing I can do about it. It was more, am I being too black or am I being too whatever? Is there something wrong with me? So that led to more, I guess, self-doubt, so to speak, in my life and more area of healing that I needed. So, yeah, I talk about some of those instances in the book. And
you do.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm as white as you can get. And so what advice do you have for someone like me, someone who does not have the same race you have, things we should think about that we don't think about? Is there anything that you could share with us that would help us, help me in that realm?
Sure. I get questions like that sometimes. Of course, I live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is a very white area. Yep. It's just how it is. And I always tell people, it's about being friends with people, right? It's about loving the way Jesus loves.
Beautiful.
So if you just talk to somebody, I had people who kind of reached out to me after COVID and after the George Floyd and the riots and those kinds of things and were asking me questions. And I said, they're like, well, we don't know how to talk to you. We don't know what to say. And I'm like, just ask me how I'm doing. What would you say to one of your white friends if they experience something traumatic? Like, there's no difference in that. Just talk to me and ask me how I'm doing. And yeah, that would be my best thing is just love like Jesus loves and he'll give you the right words.
And that's great for leadership too, you know, obviously for life, but also leadership. That's
absolutely
a real key in leadership. So we have these different aspects of healing that you talk about in your book and you handle so well. Talk about the second part of healing, what you would call part two in your healing process.
Sure. A large part of that was finding Christ and building a relationship with Jesus and knowing what that looked like and then joining a church community. The church that I walked into was amazing. Ron Meyer actually was my first pastor and he just loved me and the whole church did. I'm sure that there had to be some conversations that went on in the background of like, what are we going to do with this girl who's coming to church smelling bad and, you know, wearing things that are inappropriate and, you know, different things. But I didn't feel any of that. They just loved me. They just accepted me. And I know that there are, you know, I hate to say it this way, but I'm sure that there are other churches that I could have walked into that I may not have stayed because they may not have accepted me the way my church did. And I'm forever grateful for that and just blessed that was there and that, you know, of course that you, Larry, started Dove so that there would be a place for people
that
like me to come. So I just appreciated that so much.
That's such a blessing. So the 20s in your life were very, very significant. Talk about that.
So the 20s were definitely where I started growing in faith, but I was kind of walking the line between, you know, how do you live life on being a Christian, but also I was in college at the time. So I was doing the whole like Monday through Friday, do what you want, but Sunday show up at church and be a good Christian until God brought Rodney into my life, who eventually became my husband. But him and I brought him to church and then he started a relationship with the Lord as well. And then we could grow together. And as we grew together, that's what really changed things for me. And really made me go, okay, I need to get serious about this. And, you know, am I really going to serve the Lord or am I going to serve, you know, the world? And thank goodness Rodney helped me and we both went after the Lord pretty hard. So
yeah, this is so encouraging for me because you're right. I mean, the first Dove Church that started was because Laverne and I and a few others mm-hmm. were leading young people to Christ much different than we were. And when they came to Christ, they needed a church that would fit who they were. And you experienced, even though it was many years after we had done that, you experienced that. That's thank you. That's a great blessing for me to hear that. So more healing happened. You're seeking the Lord, getting healed in other areas. Talk about healing part three, please.
So I talked a lot in the book about, again, my relationships with, I actually had three different fathers. My mom was married three different times. Mm. And so I talk about the rocky relationships in between the three of them and how some of that works out. So this phase of healing was really learning how to see God the Father as a good father. It was pretty easy for me to connect with Jesus. It was pretty easy for me to take cues from the Holy Spirit. But God the Father was really, really hard for me because, again, my earthly fathers, it was a mess. I really walked through that healing to see, A, how God saw me and still sees. I still lean on that picture that he gave me of how he sees me. And then B, how to really have a good relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the most interesting stories I think that I have that I write about, because God literally healed me through the pages of a book. I was reading a book and I was like, God is such a creative God. He can heal you any way
that's
he
right.
wants to.
That's right.
And I would have never expected that I picked up this book and read through it, that it was going to affect me the way it did. But I was literally just crying and receiving healing as I read the words on the pages. So.
Well,
yeah,
I am convinced, Mizell, many people are going to read your book, The Exception, and have the same experience.
I hope so.
Yeah, I really believe that will happen, because you're just so honest, you're open, you're vulnerable. You say, this is what happened, this is what I felt, not condemning anybody else, but being real about the issues that you were facing and how God met you. And some was through people, some was just through him, but just powerful, powerful stuff. So thank you. And by the way, anybody listening today, you want to get this book, you can get this through Amazon. It's called The Exception, Mizell Royer. And I'm very, very serious. This book, I read through it, and I thought, this is filled with grace to help people get healed. So pick one up, please. And all that information is on the show notes. You close the book with a challenge. Tell us about that.
So my challenge, I had two goals with writing this book. Mm-hmm. One goal was obviously to let people know that they can be healed and see them seek healing. And the other goal for me was for leaders who are out there to express the areas that they've been healed in so that people know it's possible. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important for us as leaders. That's my leadership part of the podcast, right? Like, I really feel like as leaders, we need to be vulnerable. We need to share things that the Lord has healed us of so other people can see that. So my challenge, though, was for people who are reading it to say, okay, I've seen that she could be healed of these things, not to just walk away and be like, that's cool, her stories were good, and put the book down, but to say, I would like to be healed too. You know, I'm challenging people to go out and find their healing and get their healing.
So what do you say to someone listening right now to this podcast who is, and in their heart, this is all resonating with them, your story is resonating with them, what do you say to them?
I would say to talk to your leadership or people who are mentors around you, good friends, and, you know, tell them your story. What is it that is weighing on you? What is it that may be an area that you need healing in? And then start walking that out, asking for advice. Maybe you need to see a therapist. Maybe it's okay just to talk to a pastor or a leader, but whatever it is that you need, because I did both. There were mentors in my life that I talked to, but I also took time in therapy because we need that too. And what does that look like? But go after it.
Good. Why did you name the book The Exception?
So I named the book The Exception because it's a name that God gave me. In the Bible, there's instances where God changes people's names. So I didn't go out and change my name. I'm still Mizell.
Right.
But I felt like he gave me the name that I'm the exception, because as I was reading through or as I was writing everything down, there were so many instances where I was so different than other people. And God was like, that's because you're the exception. I have marked you as something different. And I talk about it at the very beginning of the book, actually. My mom was pregnant 8 or 9 different times. I can't quite remember. But I'm the only one who survived.
Wow.
So I'm the exception from birth. Mm-hmm. And so just he was highlighting that for me. And so I knew that was what the book was going to be called.
And the book is an exceptional book. So thank you. Thank you. What do you tell someone who tells you they want to write a book? I mean, you've done this. We're so proud of you basically, it was you and the Lord, basically, and a few people that you connected with, and mainly online, and you did this whole thing, start to finish. What do you tell someone? They say, we think we'd like to write a book.
Sure. I would say to really seek God on it and ask for his help, because he definitely, I wouldn't have been able to do it without him. That's for sure. But once you have a theme or an idea and start writing things down, just let it flow. I think for me personally, I can be a little bit perfectionist, so I can start self-editing as I'm writing. And it's like, you just have to get all your information down and then go back and edit it and then go back and look at it or have other people look at it with you. But just, you know, furiously write everything that you can, just write it all down and then clean it up later.
So that's the process you'd recommend, basically.
I would. Yeah, okay. I literally, and I'm a pen and paper girl. I know not everybody is, and I know it's crazy these days that people don't put everything on the computer, but I wrote my book. It was in a notebook. I wrote everything down, and then when I typed it into the computer, then I started editing and moving things and, you know, making it sound a little bit nicer and all of that. But initially, it was just raw writing.
Great. Now, I mean, obviously, I mean, this is a leadership podcast. We talk about life and leadership, helping people with life and leadership.
Sure.
And this book tells your story, how you found freedom and now you found healing. And obviously, leaders, regardless of where they're at in leadership, need to learn to walk in healing.
Yes.
They need to walk with the Lord and be healed themselves. And so I appreciate so much the way you were vulnerable, and just the way you wrote this is who you are. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
So if somebody needs a little help to know how to write a book, would you be open for them to contact you?
Absolutely. And I have a website. It's called imtheexception.com. So it's the letter I, the letter M, and then theexception.com.
That's
You can go on there, and on the contact page is all of my personal contact info and also the contact info for a women's ministry that I help lead called Blaze.
Yeah, talk more about Blaze.
Blaze stands for Blessed, Loved, and Zealously Encouraged, because that's how I would like women in leadership to feel. And it is basically just a space to pray together, encourage one another as fellow women in leadership, because we are a bit of a unique niche, and it's really good to be able to get together with like-minded people and pray with like-minded people when you, just have things that are going on that, you could use somebody to talk to.
Awesome. Well, Laverne and I have watched your life and obviously your family for many, many years. And just seeing how God's used you, it's been such a blessing and such a joy to have you on the podcast today. Anything else you would like to download? Is there anything else you'd like to say that you think would be important?
Sure. I just, again, just as leaders, to all of my leader friends out there, be encouraged that God has you where he has you for such a time as this.
Yes.
But B, remember that he has brought you through great things. You don't make it into leadership without having bumps and scrapes and bruises.
That is true.
And the leader that I know has made that.
That's true.
So make sure that you're sharing with people. Maybe you're not sharing your current struggle, and I understand that, but things that you have overcome, things that you've walked through and are on the other side of, helping other people know that is important. Something we didn't talk about today that was big for me was fear and anxiety. Mm. There's so many people out there who deal with panic attacks and anxiety and depression in their lives. God set me completely free of all of that. So I know that he can.
Yeah.
So let's talk about those things and walk through it so that we are not just walking around going, oh, this is just my thing I have to deal with.
Yeah.
That's not what God says. The tagline for my book is, having an abundant, healed life.
Yeah.
And that's important. What does that abundant life look like? The Bible says we get to live abundantly. Mm. Let's do that.
And as we watched your life and Rodney's life for years, we watched you being open and vulnerable to other people. Mm-hmm. And that's a real key to leadership. You've modeled that in such an amazing way. And so I'd encourage everyone to pick up this book. And best way, I assume, is Amazon. Is that right?
Yes.
Go to Amazon, The Exception, Mazelle Royer. So blessed that you came here today to be part of the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast.
Thank you so much, Larry. I appreciate it.
You're a great blessing. So check out the show notes, everybody. The Exception, the book is called The Exception. Very parts of the book, very raw in a good way, very open, very honest. And the Lord gets the glory from it, because he's the one that's done all these amazing things in your life, in my life, and in all of our lives. So again, check out the show notes. A lot more there. If you need any help, any ideas on leadership or ideas on writing a book or anything like that, Mazelle, she's got a servant's heart, and she'd be willing to help you.
Absolutely.
So God bless you. Thank you for being here. And for everyone joining us today, thank you for being here. here for the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast, and we'll look forward to seeing you back here real soon.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.